Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Surprise! We went live a little bit earlier today. Welcome to the Raw podcast because, Pete, I'm just too excited to talk about Brock Lesnar versus Omos? What did he call him?
Omos.
Brock Lesnar versus Omos is an actual thing that is actually happening at actual WrestleMania.
But why, though?
Because I am Luke Owen, DAD, and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. Welcome to the Raw Review Podcast here live on the WrestleTalk Podcast channel. Please, if this is your first time here, press the subscribe button, leave a little comment down below, give us a thumbs up and all of that. Also, check out the latest episode of Worst Match Ever. Let us know in the chats as well. Do you think that The Miz versus Damian Priest...
as I have since learned, because I was really focusing on the spelling of Damian.
Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Was Damian Priest versus The Miz in the Zombies match worse than Goldberg versus Undertaker? Let us know what you think. And also get in your comments down below if you're watching this on demand. But if you're watching live, you can join the conversation. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra Chats. We'll read out all of them above the $5 amount before the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on Worst Match Ever before we get into this?
It's fun, isn't it? It's a good show.
Do you think we've got a potential contender on our hands here?
If Lesnar doesn't want to cooperate, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Oof, could be, you know.
Who knows?
Omos. So, last week, Omos, out of the blue, just said, I'm going to challenge Brock Lesnar to a match at WrestleMania.
Via MVP in a backstage segment.
And we all went, lol.
No, you're not.
Well, that'll be a funny thing that will get teased for a week. And then come Monday, or come Tuesday. Come Tuesday when we actually come around to watching it.
All right, Von Wagner.
Come Monday, it'll be a big swerve reveal. Mm-hmm. And Brock Lesnar just F5s MVP and he F5s Omos.
Yep.
And then we find out what Brock Lesnar's actual program for WrestleMania is going
to
be.
It's a stepping stone to get to a Lesnar-Lashley rematch.
Yeah, or a Lesnar-Lashley-Wyatt three-way.
Exactly.
Something along those lines. Like, yes. Or Lesnar-Gunther, which is, you know, what we've been teasing since the Rumble. Or at least we teased at the Rumble.
Yeah.
So, that's what we all went in there thinking. This entire week has just been, like, Twitter has been ablaze with just, like, Triple H wouldn't just book that match at WrestleMania. That'd be a really weird match for Triple H to book at WrestleMania. Mm. Triple H has got something up his sleeve. Old Daddy Trips, the promised savior of Monday Night Raw. He's got something tucked away in his little trunks about what we're going to do with this actual Brock Lesnar match. Mm-hmm. But no, we're at the VIP lounge with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar comes out first because he don't wait for no introduction.
Yeah.
And
I'd also like to point out that the whole promotion around this is Brock Lesnar going to show up? He might not. Is Brock Lesnar going to appear? Find out next. And then he came out and it was like, he's here.
Here he is. Well, Brock. Turns out Brock was here.
Yes, is the answer.
And he asks MVP to come out. Mm-hmm. I thought MVP was quite funny being like,
he was good.
He was like, hey, come and get in the ring with me. And MVP was like, no. no, I'm cool here.
I'm fine.
I'm fine here. I'm all right here. Yeah. And Brock Lesnar promised that he would not suplex. It was a, you know, nice little bit of comedic payoff to come later on with that.
Yeah.
So MVP gets in the ring. Brock Lesnar sits down and he's like, look, you're a promoter. I've worked with a lot of promoters around the world. Sell me on the idea of this match. Mm-hmm. I've written in my notes here. MVP cuts a promo that legit makes Brock Lesnar versus Omos sound like a good idea. He's that good.
It was a good promo. It didn't quite make sense with the continuity of WWE being like, you know, you had your hands full with Bobby Lashley at Elimination Chamber, so you think you can take on Omos? And it's like, yeah, because Omos is worse than Lashley. We know this.
Yeah, but he is taller, though.
So?
So, well, if Omos gets on a hold that Brock can't get out of, what's he going to do? Apart from, you know, kick him in the knob,
kick him
in
the dick,
kick him in the knob, I guess. And so Brock was impressed by this, and he accepted the challenge.
Just straight up said, yeah, right.
Yeah, right, fine.
Sure.
I'll take on Omos.
Sorry, keep going. I'm to wear this at the end of the segment.
And then like, they then had, I would say, arguably too long.
This segment is very long, is one of my notes.
Yeah, they kind of went back and forth maybe too many times about whether or not they were going to shake on this deal, what they were going to drink on this deal, and this and the other. And eventually, the punchline was is that Brock didn't want to drink any of MVP's champagne. And so he brought out a flask that had white lightning in it. Now, I'm guessing in America, white lightning is just something different. Here in the UK, it is very, very cheap cider that is rubbish and is drunk by teenagers because it's what you can afford to buy down at your local, like, Nisa, your Nisa local.
Yeah.
Like, if you get into your local spa,
you're
able to buy, you know, a 2-liter bottle of White Lightning for probably $1.19, maybe. And then you go and drink that in a park with your mates with, you know, two ciggies between you, like between the eight of you.
Yeah.
Like that is what White Lightning is to me. So when Brock Lesnar's like, oh, it's White Lightning, I'm like, you cheap bastard. No wonder MVP spat it out.
I'd also, I don't like to be this guy, but you know how Brock Lesnar has beaten several black wrestlers like Kofi Kingston and Big E for the WWE Championship. And then he's just faced Lashley and he's facing Omos with MVP and his drink's called White Lightning. Maybe should have thought that one through.
Anywho, so it's clearly something different in the States.
Yeah.
It's probably like, you know, a really like distilled spirit, very strong, one would presume. Because MVP took a big old swig of this. For someone who was unsure, he took a big old swig.
Well, he was scared, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, I guess
he back down in front of Lesnar.
And he nearly like choked it up and he spat it right in Brock's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then quite humorously was like, dabbing Brock with the, you know, on the forehead with his handkerchief and stuff, his little pocket square. And Brock like takes the pocket square, wipes his face, blows his nose on it, and puts it back in MVP's pocket, gives him the F5, and off he goes.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is, everyone. No Omos in this segment, by the way. No Omos in this segment. Omos. No, there was
Omos.
He was not there to be seen. Oh no, Omos.
Nomos.
No, no Mos. There was no Mos in this scene. No-mos. Thank you. I knew I'd get there.
Yep.
And it's official.
The match graphic.
It is Brock Lesnar versus Omos at WrestleMania. What we thought was a bait and switch last week is just the plan.
Mm.
What are your thoughts here?
Why? That's my primary thought. Why? This is just a weird match. I could say, well, the thing is, I know Lesnar matches historically aren't very long anyway, but this will be like a minute, I think, at Mania.
This will go the full five.
You reckon this will go five?
Yeah, I think this will go four and a half.
I think this is going to go a minute. Lesnar's just going to kill him. That's it. That's the whole match.
Then what's the point?
Correct. What's the point, Luke? What's the point of any of this? I don't know. I don't know what they're playing at with this match.
Well, this is the defense I have seen thus far. You know, certainly like, you know, taking to Twitter and the reaction when this match was announced was a lot of why? Why?
Yeah.
Why are we actually doing this? Mm. Like when you sort of look at WrestleMania in California and the SoFi Stadium, what brought you to the decision to waste your Brock Lesnar appearance on a match that legit no one wants to see.
Apart from Muscle Man Malcolm.
That's the only person on this planet.
The only person I've seen that wants this match.
I'll give you that. Muscle Man Malcolm wants this match to happen, but I think that is also ironically.
Yeah!
Yeah.
I think so as well.
So, there you go. You've got one person who ironically wants this match to happen.
Yes.
And maybe...
And wants it to main event.
And Vinnie Mac, I guess, is the other one. We'll get to that point in a minute.
Yeah.
But the general defense I've seen in this, and I saw this in the live chat before we started as well, which is it's a 5-minute Brock Lesnar match. I don't really see what the big deal is. What's the, you know, why are we getting upset about this? Yada, 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 yada. It's just, it's the piss break match. It's your toilet break match. It's when you'll go get refreshments.
Sure.
And I'm there being like, well, how have WWE conditioned people to think that's okay?
Yeah. Just don't have that.
Yeah, you don't have to book a bad match at WrestleMania just because you have to have a toilet break.
Pace your show better and you don't need one.
Yeah. I just don't see that as a credible argument of... Ah, well, doesn't matter, does it? Yeah. Because it's only a Brock Lesnar match.
It's all right. On this fantastic 5-match NXT TakeOver card, we need to have the 6th match of Boa because we need a piss break match in there. You see how nuts that sounds?
Yeah, I don't... So for me, that is an argument that doesn't stand up. So I then come back to this, like, I don't understand this decision. Is this a Vince McMahon call?
No.
You don't think... You think this is full on Trips?
I think it's Trips.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do you think it's Trips and not a Vinnie Mac thing?
I don't think this is related to this creative decision specifically. I just don't believe that Vince McMahon is in control of creative.
No. I don't think so either. So, Sean on the Fightful Post show, the way that he phrased it was... I am 70% sure he's back in creative now.
Really?
After watching this episode of Raw, I'm 70% sure he's got some handle in creative. He also added, I'm 99% sure he is at least having input.
I would think that Vince probably has input, but I'm pretty confident that Triple H is still very much in control of creative.
Sure, that was
his fingerprints all across this episode.
Yeah, that was Sean's big point of that is that regardless, it is Triple H's final decision rather than the other way around that it used to be, was that Triple H was in creative meetings and he had input. Vince McMahon had final sign off.
Yes.
This is very much the case the other way around. Vince can say like, hey, pal, I think this would be a really good idea. Ultimately, it is a Triple H call.
Yes.
If I was to pop the old speculation hat on, if I may, this to me feels like a Vince McMahon input that Triple H has just gone yes to, because if you say yes to one idea, then Vince doesn't present you with 10 others.
Mm, interesting.
So there's this school of thought within the filmmaking world that a producer's role on a movie is they just want something creative to be shown up on screen so they can say, oh, that was my idea.
That was mine, yeah.
So... I've interviewed like several Hollywood writers over my years, and one of them once told me a story is like the way that he sees producers, like he's worked with producers before who have just said like in every creative meeting, I think the lead characters should wear a white hat, like that's the, like they're just bringing that one idea here, and eventually you just have to relent to that one idea because it just gets them to stay quiet and they don't then present anything else to the ads. You're like, okay, well, I'll give you this one concession because it really doesn't affect much of anything.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, when the film comes out, that one person, that one producer can sit there and be like, see that white hat? That was my idea. I think really the whole film hangs on the fact that that character is wearing a white hat. And I think that in my mind, in my headcanon, that is what we have here, is that Vince McMahon went in, because as of November... The internal rundown of this, according to Sean Rossap, was it was Lesnar versus Gunther. That is, as of November, that was the WrestleMania locked in match we were having. And that's why they did the tease at the Rumble.
Yeah.
I think with Vince stepping back in, Vince is like, hey, pal, I actually think Brock versus Omos is a much bigger marquee match. And Triple H is like, oh, man, if he's thinking this is a good idea, that means he's going to come in with loads of other ideas. And there's only so many times I can say no. So I would say yes to this one, sacrifice my Brock Lesnar match, my dream match that I could have had with Brock and Gunther, and give the old man this one concession.
You know, it's a fun theory. It's fun to speculate. I don't think it's true, but it's a fun theory. I think it's a really fun theory. I don't... They had that stare down at the Rumble, Lesnar and Gunther.
Yeah.
It feels like to me the plan was always Gunther versus Banger Bros triple threat.
That's what certainly seems that's the direction we're going in now, doesn't yeah. it? Like the last couple of weeks of SmackDown really felt like we've actually shifted more towards that direction.
I always thought that was kind of the plan. Like I always thought maybe it was just fantasy booking heads at the time, but that I always thought was kind of the eventual direction of where we were heading, and the Lesnar Gunther thing was just a fun spot in the Rumble. Mm. You know, just like two big lads.
Kind of like
fun.
You know, and because I'm hanging a lot of my theory on that moment in the Rumble. Because when I saw that moment in the Rumble, my big takeaway from that Rumble was, oh, this is a Rumble that has got actual stakes and it is setting things up to be paid off at future events.
Yeah.
But, so you're right, I'm hanging a lot of my theory onto that one moment, unfair that may be. But you're right, like, it could have just been the same stare down we had with Lesnar and Keith Lee in the 2020 Rumble, or the stare down between Lesnar and Big E or whatever it was. You know, those moments that were just in that 2020 Rumble that eventually didn't really mean anything because it was just all about Drew eliminating Lesnar at number 15 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What your argument is, it's actually just a one of those to make the crowd go,
that's exactly what it is. I for me, that's what I took from it, was not necessarily this is the Mania program, but just like a hey, look, big lads, we have them,
they were big lads,
isn't it cool?
So looking at this whole show then, because this was the show that made people things. So I wanted to bring up the what you know Sean said on the Fightful post show, because even when I was watching it, I was like, this feels like there's some Vince McMahonisms across this show. There wasn't anything on this show that sort of like felt to you, this is, because this is definitely still a Triple H Raw.
Oh yeah.
His finger, as you mentioned earlier, his fingerprints are all over this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think this was, see, the thing is, we all loved Triple H's NXT, but did we really? Because we loved takeovers.
There it is.
Did we really like weekly NXT shows?
Weekly TV wasn't very good.
It's completely fine. There was nothing bad about weekly NXT in the Triple H era. It was fine.
Yeah.
It built some stories very slowly, very gradually.
Sometimes it didn't even do that. It was just like, here's 3-4 matches.
Here's some matches. And that's it, right? But then when you got to the big shows, it was like, oh, amazing. Stakes, big time matches. Everybody gets time to shine. 5 matches on a card. The best performers from the brand are competing. This is what we want to see. I think Triple H kind of has the same philosophy on his WWE TV. Like, it's mostly fine.
Yeah.
And then the pay-per-views are really good.
Problem is, this is a 3-hour show now.
Like, I know.
Like, that worked fine for NXT TV when it was 1 hour.
I know.
In developmental, in front of 100 people.
Yes.
Like, this is now national TV, 3 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And I know, and I said this in the edited review, we are 30-odd days away from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're like, crikey, lads, pick up the pace, because we're rapidly running out of time before WrestleMania gets here. You know, we're driving down this road at 60 miles an hour. We're going to be at WrestleMania before we know it. But this is 2 weeks on the trot now where it really has not felt like we're building towards WrestleMania.
No. It very much felt like this show as a whole was saying like, hey, next week though.
But last week's show was like, hey, in 2 weeks' time, though, we were talking about the build to Raw 30.
Yeah.
Where they had like 2 weeks of TV where it was like, it's not really anything happening. But next week, though, Raw 30, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah. Because it very much felt like on this show, they were like, hey, next week we've got John Cena. Hey, next week we've got Logan Paul. Hey, next week we've got this other match.
Or, hey, this Friday at SmackDown, Roman's on the show. Hey,
Roman and Cody.
Rhea Ripley's going to be going across to that show. Yeah. Cody's going to be going across to that show. Like, all of a sudden, So there, watch this, been like, we've got 3 Raw roster members that are feuding with people on SmackDown. Because you've got Cody feuding with Roman, Rhea feuding with Charlotte, and Bobby feuding with Bray.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's why Raw feels quite empty at the moment. Because it's people feuding with screens.
Yes.
Or the idea, they're feuding with the idea of people.
Yep.
They're feuding with the idea of, I'm going to go to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole episode of Raw was, quite frankly, pretty boring.
It was very formulaic, is what I'd call it. Because I think it happened maybe 3 or 4 times on this show where person wins match, person cuts promo after match. And that was it. Like, you had, like, just a feature match. Like, Asuka faced Carmella and Cody Rhodes beat Chad Gable, and both of them cut a promo after to be like, I'm going to win at WrestleMania. And, like, that's it. And and that was basically, like, the show. It just felt like, it's not a bad idea to feature the people who are going to wrestle at WrestleMania and give them wins on the build to WrestleMania. That's a solid idea.
Sure is.
It's just not that captivating.
No, and I think when you're on the road to WrestleMania, you can't, you need to have at least one of them do something to further the storyline.
Exactly.
If you have all of your storylines do the exact same beat and it's the exact same holding beat, because if you, even if you just had one of the storylines move forward a step, it would have felt like this show had something to it, to hang its white hat on, if you will. But because
Lashley versus Elias, that's the other one I was thinking of.
But every segment on this show did not progress a WrestleMania story.
With the exception of the main event, I think.
I would give you that. But the problem is it's also a feud that's, I think, very much run its course, because it's a bit Judgment Day versus Edge at the moment. Because I've seen Becky and the Legends get beat Damage Control, because that's how Becky beat Bayley in the cage.
Yeah.
So I don't really need to see Becky and the Legends beat them again to build to another match that they'll also likely win.
Yeah.
It's actually, now the more I think about it, God, it is Edge and Judgment Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Because it's Edge Judgment Day all over again.
We're getting sidetracked from this whole Brock Lesnar almost thing. But
okay. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to suggest.
Yeah.
Mod Mother, can you hear me? Let's do a little test on this, eh? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Mm-hmm. Brock versus Amos.
Not the show.
Not the show. Just the fact that that match is happening at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Just cool. Like, we'll just take a little litmus test of, you know, the sort of like 1,200 people that are watching the stream currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll go with that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Should we get into some Ultra Chat, see what people have got to say?
Let's do that.
From our wonderful community here. And in fact, actually, amazingly, not a lot of people have got some things to say about this. You know, when we've done, like, things that have been led around the bloodline, that's the other thing the show was really missing.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. So unfortunately, Streamlabs is still having its issues and losing people's names. So I apologize that some names are lost. Please do let our moderators know. But this missing Streamlabs name here says, "Hi, lads. Feel like people are overreacting to Brockamos. There's 8 to 9 matches on Mania to be excited for. This match is aimed for the casual fans who don't watch every week. They turn on and see a 7-foot giant versus a beast. They're interested. It's harmless 3 to 4 minutes. You could have had that with Gunther, though. And,
yeah.
And it would have been good.
Yeah.
And people would have been, you'd have appeased more than just the casuals. I totally get the appealing to the casual market.
Yeah.
Totally get that. It's what the whole point of WrestleMania. It's why there were so many celebrities there last year. It's the whole point of WrestleMania. But I do also think you Brock Lesnar matches should be a special commodity.
Exactly. I think you're wasting the potential of a Brock Lesnar match if you just say, could be anything. Because really, you're putting him up against Omos at Mania. It could realistically be most people to get this a similar sort of reaction. Granted, the casual people are going to be like, that man's tall. But you have a lot of big lads on the roster. You could do Brock Lesnar versus Otis. You could do Brock Lesnar versus Rick Boogs.
You could do Brock and Braun again.
Brock Lesnar versus Mace. Brock Lesnar versus Shanky. Those are tall people. But like, no, it's just not appealing, you know? Yeah,
and you can do it the other way around. You could put some small lads in there.
Yeah.
You could do Brock and Ricochet again. And actually, I think you could advertise, like, if Triple H had put on Brock Ricochet, and it's a Triple H booked Brock Ricochet match, I think people would be way more into that.
And there's a story there.
And there's a storyline ready to be told there.
Yeah.
I just don't think that we should be taking, like, and that's why my general consensus is from this, is people just take Lesnar matches for granted.
Another gripe I have with this as well is, one, from this segment in particular, Lesnar just wasn't taking Omos seriously at all. He's like, okay, we're going to do a bit of business. I'm going to beat him, sure, whatever, don't care. Which, why would I now care about the match? Because Lesnar doesn't care. And also, this is like not paying off the Lashley Elimination Chamber thing at all, which makes that finish retroactively so much worse.
Yeah, it's bad storytelling.
Real bad storytelling, this.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It is bad storytelling. It's a bad follow-up to what was a bad finish.
Exactly.
At the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I had another point I was going to make then, and it's completely gone from me, but maybe it'll come back. But I'm just Marcus here, says, laying down sick today. Sorry to hear that. So I thought I would join you. Lesnar versus Omos is happening, and I don't understand why. But at least it will be short, bell ring, couple of suplexes, an F5, and we can move on to the other big matches.
Well, I think it's going to happen.
I legit think it's going to go 4.5 minutes.
I think 2 at a push.
I'm also going to say, 90 seconds of that is a head squeeze.
Ooh, I was thinking you were going to say 90 seconds would have been a stare down. Like, bell rings and they just stand there looking at each other.
That's a 45 seconds,
uh-huh.
Adding on to my 90. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in between that. So we have got, we're all in agreement. There's probably like 2 minutes of actual match in there, which are just the suplexes and the F5.
Yeah.
But I think you can stretch that out with a stare down and a 90 second head squeeze. Ooh, spot.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Riveting. That's what that is.
BM Whitehouse here says, fun fact, Jey Uso was the first person to pin Roman Reigns in WWE. Another fun fact, a lot of people started watching WWE at the start of the PG era, which turns 30 in the next few years.
Yeah.
A lot of people that started watching WWE at the start of the PG era turned 30 in the next few years. Oh, okay.
Well, some people who also started watching WWE later also turn 30 soon.
This guy right here. Another missing Streamlabs username, apologies for that, said, is it wrong to say Mania has had a bad build outside of Ray Dom and the Bloodline? It's early doors to say that it's had a bad build. If you're going from Rumble to now as like that's the Mania build with Elimination Chamber. I think this is a bad episode to judge that on.
Yeah.
Because this episode didn't do a lot.
And I will also say, it does make me chuckle when people be like, if you take away the good stuff, is this thing bad? And it's like, well, you've taken away the good stuff, so yes, by default. Because those are the best builds, really. Ray Dom is wonderful.
Great. Yeah.
He's wonderful. And the Bloodline is obviously fantastic. And I think taking the good stuff, like cherry-picking the good stuff out of it, and then going, well, all the rest of it is bad, therefore this is bad. It's like, yeah, but you've not looked at the good stuff. I'm not saying that 2 feuds make up for the rest of it, but I do think it's important to take the whole picture into account.
Abby here from Vancouver says, bit of a random comment. I want to see Jay's story arc complete with the line, I don't care what the tribal chief says, but this time he means it.
I don't give a damn what the tribal chief wants or thinks or whatever he said it was. Oh,
and
that's good.
Our last one from now, unfortunately, is from a missing Streamlabs username, but I do like this one. This week of Raw gave me feelings of my GM mode. Trying to delay builds to stretch them out to get to the pay-per-view. And I raised the question of is this Vince effect on creative or Bruce's, since he's part of creative? P.S. White lighting is moonshine.
The more you know.
The more you know.
I don't think it's the effect of Vince's creative. I think that it is Triple H just kind of spinning his wheels till Mania. He's got your plan, and now he's just kind of spinning until we get there.
Yeah, I also don't think Bruce Pritchard is creative enough to do Brock Lesnar versus Amos, if I'm being frankly honest. I don't think it's going to take us too long.
Wouldn't think so.
To get through
all
this, but hey, we'll try. So the show opened with a big recap of what happened on SmackDown that had really like amazing stuff there with Sammy
so good.
And Jay. Mm. Our opening segment here, it was the Bloodline. And I feel so bad. Like, and I, when I was writing on my review, I was trying to find like, where are my words for this? Mm-hmm. Because these are integral characters to the story.
Yep.
Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa opened the show with a promo. They are integral characters to this Bloodline story.
Yes.
But they're not the focus of the Bloodline story.
No.
So when you do a Bloodline segment that doesn't have Roman or Sammy or Cody or Kevin or Heyman or Jay, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, well, it's just you two then.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate this. Because I think it's having segments like this that make the whole Bloodline feel important. And granted, this promo doesn't get, you know, the same kind of spotlight that a Roman segment would or a Sammy segment would or whatever. But having segments like this where you can see characters' motivations and you understand why Jimmy Uso is saying what he's saying and Solo Sikoa gets to continue to stand there and be awesome. For me, that's what makes the whole Bloodline interesting. Because if you just have the important people every time, the less important people never get a chance to shine. So I think having stuff like this is important in making the rest of the Bloodline feel important, especially because it really looks like we're doing Sammy and KO versus the Usos at WrestleMania. So having Jimmy Uso, one of the four people in that match, have a chance to cut a promo, to talk about his motivations and say how, you know, talk about the past of KO and Sammy and Cody and all that stuff. That is important to the story. And I don't think it's a waste to do this.
I agree with you. I just don't think this segment furthered anything. Like, Jimmy didn't say anything in this segment that we didn't already know.
That's true.
And that's where I think the segment falls down. Because I completely agree with you that you do need to give Jimmy this mic time.
Yeah.
But Jimmy also... Jimmy got way more out of the SmackDown promo.
That's true.
Like, Jimmy, when he got to cut his promo on SmackDown, like, that was actual character growth for Jimmy. That really gave us stuff. And, like, that's, like, the interaction here with Sammy was, like, it's captivating stuff.
Yeah.
Here, he just says... We run this show. The Bloodline run this show. We are putting the Raw locker room on notice because we run this show. Mm-hmm. And then the Street Profits come out and cut a promo on them. This achieves nothing.
Mm. Yeah. I liked Jimmy and Solo tagging because I was like, well, there's no Jay. What's Jay doing? You think about the other characters by omission. Because they don't mention Jay. Like, so what's Jay doing right now? Wonder what Jay thinks of this segment. And
then it just makes him poochy.
Just yeah. yeah, but also, I like it, right?
I should be asking, where's Jay?
I know, but it's fine. I did also think it was weird. And they were like, oh, we got a tag match. And I was like, oh, Jimmy and Solo tagging. That should be fun. And then they come out and cut a promo. And then the Street Profits come out. They're like, oh, do you want to fight? And it's like, you have a scheduled tag match. They already announced it.
Yeah,
the tag
I
match.
Thought that.
Yeah.
And then I thought I got my notes wrong.
No.
And I didn't go back to check.
And then they said, please welcome their opponents, the Street Profits. And it's like, well, come on, let's fight. And it's like, we want the smoke. It's like, You're already fighting.
You already have the smoke.
You got a scheduled tag match.
I got real, like, it was like playing WWF SmackDown on the PlayStation, mm-hmm. which is like, if you're part of a faction, you're also a tag team. Yeah. So like in the career mode or the story mode of The Undertaker won the tag titles with Bradshaw. Because we were part of the Ministry of Darkness.
That's good. Yeah.
That's what I got with Jimmy and Solo here. Mm. Montez Ford. They showed a recap of him in the mm-hmm. Elimination Chamber with yep. his amazing spots.
Yeah.
But he, and the same thing happened with Gargano later, felt like they're getting nothing out of their run in the chamber.
I definitely don't think they are taking full advantage of the momentum that they had with Montez Ford coming out of the chamber. I agree with you 100%. I don't think he's being given nothing. I think there is something. They're making an effort to make Montez Ford the star of the Street Profits.
Particularly Ford.
They are making an effort to make Ford the one who gets the hot tags. Angelo Dawkins is the one that gets pinned. Montez Ford is the one that's in control a lot. He's the one that's the target. He's the one that's star of the Street Profits right now. I think that is intentional. They're giving him something. It's not as much momentum as I would have given him coming out of the chamber.
But this, yeah.
But it is something.
But this is the point I was, like, when the chamber happened, we had a lot of chats that came in being like, oh man, you've just made 5 brand new stars mm-hmm. In the mid-card.
Yeah.
And my instant thought was that, I was like, give it 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw it with Bronson Reed last week, coming out, still zero reaction. Gargano later.
It's not his fault.
Gargano later in the show, zero. But like, I can't even think it's WWE's fault either.
Yeah.
Because WWE gave him an amazing run in the chamber.
They did.
And
people always pop for his moves. It's yeah. like, just care about him the rest of the time.
But I think part of that's also he's not in a story.
Yeah.
He's there not is in a, that. And the same thing with Ford. Mm-hmm. Ford's not in a story at the moment. So people can't. And I think that is what, you know, the success of the Bloodline. That is what is drawing people to the product is that story. Like SmackDown did like a 2.4 rating. That's without Roman on the show.
Yeah.
That is because people are tuning in to see the Bloodline story, the next chapter
yep.
of this Bloodline saga. And I think Ford not being in a story, Johnny Gargano not really being in a story either. He's a guy that's been there, but he's just been there since like October or whenever it was when he came back.
Yeah.
He's just there.
And like, you set up a couple of really interesting matches and I was like, oh, this should be fun. Like a couple of these matches, but that's just me going off because I know NXT Gargano. It's got nothing to do with main event Gargano.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like him and Balor will have an amazing match next week.
That sounds awesome. Like that's a dream. Like NXT Gargano versus NXT Balor is like a dream match. Like that's awesome.
But I don't think it's going to do anything for Gargano in the least. But anyway, this match was Jimmy and Solo versus the Street Profits. Decent action between these four, which is what you would expect. As you mentioned, Ford got to run wild, and they really were trying to make it seem like he was the deal of the group.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, it was a Samoan spike from Solo Sikoa for the win.
Yep.
Bloodline went to continue the beatdown. Solo set up the chair in the corner to do the hip attack, but Kevin Owens ran down and made the save.
Mm-hmm.
We had a stare down between Solo and Owens. And we found out later on in the show it's going to be Solo Owens next week.
Mm. Wonder how Sammy's going to play into that.
Yeah, I mean, I miss Sammy on this show.
Yeah,
I think he can't
be on every show.
No, but... And well, okay, you're right. But the show then needs something else. Because the show didn't really have anything.
Got KO on it,
but Kevin really didn't do much anything either that's like furthering
he stunned a Jimmy Uso, didn't he?
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's the first time for everything, I guess. We then got the VIP lounge with Brock Lesnar.
Sorry, just very quickly,
yeah,
I just want to say on this story in particular, I think they're doing a really good job of telling the KO and Sammy versus Uso story. I just don't know whether people are satisfied with that story.
I
personally am. I'm well on board with the story. I think it's great. I love the ending of Elimination Chamber. I think it makes total sense. This is a story they're going to tell. That's fine. I'm on board with Cody versus Roman as well. I think that's also a good story. I'm on board with all of this. I just want to make sure everybody else is okay with this too.
I think people are.
I hope so.
And this is
a good story.
It is a very good story.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'm still like, I'm clamoring for that moment when we do get to have that Sammy and KO reunion. Like
I agree.
Is still like the emotional heartbeat moment that I'm still waiting for. So I am still into this.
Mm-hmm.
I know like you certainly go through comments, people do see this as a bit of a demotion for Sammy.
Which I don't agree with because I think it's...
I don't know. I don't know if I do.
I certainly don't agree with it because I think this is far and away still the most captivating thing in WWE right now.
Yeah.
VIP lounge with Brock Lesnar, which we discussed earlier. Charlie interviewed Lita and Becky, who said they're going to win tonight.
They should. Lita and Lynch, we will win.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the promo.
Cody Rhodes took on Chad Gable with a fabulous little match.
Oh, my God.
But it was there, and I was like, man, I wish this had just five, six more minutes. Because, like, these two would have absolutely torn the house down. Because they tore the house down with just 9 minutes.
Oh, mate.
Give them a little bit more time, these two would absolutely tear it up.
Every time I see Chad Gable wrestle, I'm like, how can you not push this man? He is so good. He's so good.
It's amazing.
There were some great spots in this match as well. Smoothest transition into the figure four I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was real good. That amazing. Was nice. Disaster kick countered into the German suplex. Gable worked over Cody's knee in this match. Gable did this awesome cliffhanger DDT into a moonsault. It was awesome.
That was insane. And speaking
so
of
cool.
Speaking of insane, I've watched this multiple times over.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Gable's cell of the crossroads.
So good.
Proper like RVD.
Yeah.
I'm lawn darting like myself into the floor. It was so, so good. And we got an ooper duper super whooper Cody cutter.
Yeah.
Like he went like I bounced around all four sides of the ring before he hit that thing.
It was really good.
He bounced off a rope that's not even there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome.
Bounced off the fourth rope.
Hit the crossroads for the win. Amazing sell.
Really good match.
Really, really
Please
good match.
Push Chad Gable at some point.
He is the absolute unsung hero of Monday Night Raw.
God, he's so
he's
good.
He's dead good, is our Chad.
Yeah. And then after the match, Cody cut a promo to say, because it was earlier said that Jimmy said in the opening promo that Roman's going to be on SmackDown this week. Cody said, cool, I'm also going to be on SmackDown this week. And that was it.
Yeah. Byron Saxon tried. Well, he was going to interview Baron Corbin.
I loved this backstage segment so much and only for one reason.
Yeah.
Byron Saxon, well, there is going to be much anticipation for Cody and Roman on SmackDown. Switching gears now, here's Baron Corbin. They do significantly worse segues than we do. And we do bad segues.
But I think that like that is brilliant from a character perspective. Because Baron Corbin's rubbish.
Yes.
And everyone knows that he's rubbish.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that he sucks and he's a loser and no one really wants to interview him. So like, Byron Saxon's ever like, I'm going to interview this loser now. Switching gears, I guess. It's
See, the thing is, that would totally work. But they also do the switching gears thing genuinely on commentary.
Yeah.
Switching gears, here's a recap of this segment from Raw.
Yeah, it's true. But anyway, yeah, he was about to interview Baron Corbin, who was about to be like, man, my life's crap at the moment. Like, I really need something. Yeah. Byron's like, well, never mind. There's Kevin Owens. Kevin!
We're going to have to cut this interview short. Hold on, here's Kevin Owens.
Baron's like, oh, come on!
Yeah.
It's funny. I really enjoyed this.
KO says he doesn't need help.
Yeah. Again, that's where we were last week.
And then Kevin Patrick went to hug Corey Graves.
I missed that.
Yep. No other notes on that bit. They were talking about Hollywood parodies or whatever.
It's because they did the Titanic parody.
All right,
yeah.
So then he went to go hug him.
Yeah.
And then it cut before he did.
The Titanic parody is quite funny.
Oh, that's good.
Judgment Day cut a promo. In fact, they actually cut three separate promos in a way here.
I quite like this.
As did I.
Mm.
Which was Dom Dom cut his little promo on Ray Ray.
Great.
And then Rhea cut her promo on Charlotte.
Great.
And this is when, oh man, I said earlier, it's three. It's actually four.
Yeah, it's four
there's
promos.
There's four stars of Raw are feuding with four stars of SmackDown, which means that four stars of Raw on this three-hour show are just feuding with screens.
Mm.
And then are going to SmackDown to actually start storylines or further storylines.
Yes.
That's why I find this show so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's irritating.
Mm.
So Rhea cuts her promo. She's going to be on SmackDown with a match against Liv Morgan. Were they former tag champs together?
I don't
think so.
I don't think they were tag champs. They were definitely a tag team.
They were a tag team,
but I don't
think
they were tag champs. No, but they definitely were a team. I remember that.
No, Nikki and Rhea were tag champs. They were a tag team.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't think Rhea and Liv ever won the belts.
Just checking the
chat. That's fine. We'll come back to
that. Saying no. Anywho.
Cool.
And then... Bala cuts a promo on Edge and says, oh, it's over when I say it's over. And I wrote here, please say it's over then, Finn. Just say it's over. And he said it will be over at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm so, so over watching Judgment Day lose to Edge.
If you'll permit me.
Yeah.
We had a backstage segment next with Maximum Male Models. Do you mind if I do an impersonation of Marseille?
Please do.
Because he went in like this, to just as a casual chat.
Genuinely quite funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
I popped so hard for Mace. Because it was significantly higher. I'm not very flexible.
Yeah.
Like, significantly higher on the door. And just kind of leant there like he was all casual. Very funny.
See, I mean, because you, I stole you away from SmackDown. So these are your boys.
Yeah.
I found this to be quite an entertaining backstage segment.
Very funny.
I thought people didn't like these lads.
Well, they were very boring for a while.
Right.
Because they took up so much of the show and did the same joke every time. But if they're a little like fun comedy goof act where they just go around and be knobs backstage, they're funny.
Yeah.
They're charismatic enough. If Mace just does that all the time, I'm on board.
Yeah, they set up a match for Otis later, so Otis went off to Adam Pearce to get himself a match.
Mm-hmm.
Up next. Now, if you've seen my edited review, got into a little a nice bit of performative anger at this.
Mm-hmm.
I egged up my reaction to
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just to kind of get over this idea of just like, is Vince back in control or anything like that? Is Vince in creative?
Yeah.
However, I thought Asuka versus Carmella was a baffling bit of booking.
Please do explain.
Because
I don't know if I think the same as you here.
So, you are looking to achieve one thing mm-hmm. with this segment,
mm-hmm.
which is hype up Asuka versus Bianca Belair mm-hmm. at WrestleMania.
Yes.
That is your big marquee WrestleMania match.
Yes.
I don't think I would do that by having Carmella dominate 90% of this match and then Asuka just reverse her into a submission to get the win at the end.
I agree.
And then at the end of the segment, have Carmella be the one that stands tall mm-hmm. and almost make it look like it's Carmella versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka looks rubbish in this.
She didn't look fantastic. Yes, I definitely would have booked this match very differently. I don't think it looked like it was Carmella Bianca for WrestleMania, because as soon as she attacked her, I was like, okay, it's Carmella Bianca next week.
No, it is. I'm not saying that is the direction that we are mm-hmm. heading, that they're going to switch it up or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the framing of this mm-hmm. should be around Asuka and Bianca Belair, because that is the WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
You should at least make Asuka look like a focal point of this segment to try and build her up to make it look like she might win the title from the very dominant Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair pointed at the WrestleMania sign, Luke. Twice.
Well, Pete, I guess when you're right, you're right. Like, that's... when that is your base level of WrestleMania build, she actually took two steps forward.
She said, you can't spell WrestleMania without EST.
Yep, I think, just check my notes, she said that every year at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because it does have EST in it.
Can I read you my first two notes for this match?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I believe this is actually before the match started. I said, Corey, please shut the fuck up. And then my second note was, Corey, please shut the fuck up. My God, he's insufferable.
I like Corey.
I hated
matches.
This.
But I knew we were in for trouble. Also, please, Pete, don't swear. Come on, mate. You're bigger than that. I knew we were in for choppy waters here.
Mm-hmm.
Chop, chop.
Mm-hmm.
Because Corey was not scared for Carmella.
Mm, yeah.
Last week, they set this up. Mm-hmm. That Carmella made a mistake in asking for a one-on-one match with Asuka.
Yep.
Because Asuka is very dangerous and Carmella is very rubbish.
Yeah.
So Corey was there being like, I don't think this was the best idea. Like, hey, she's her own person. She's mm-hmm. her own woman. But I don't think this is a good idea at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that's the story here.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella thinks she's great. But she's actually just an opportunist that steals other people's hard work and then steals the wins for herself.
Yes.
But then we started this off and Corey was like, here comes Carmella. She's great. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. I want to talk about how wonderful she is. And I was like, oh, he's not talking about how scared she should be.
See, that's the
thing. And he's not scared either. And then I realized, oh no, they don't need to be scared because apparently Carmella's awesome. Mm. And really she should be the one going to WrestleMania because she dominated this match.
Yeah. See, I think Corey was insufferable to start with. He then had a bit where I was like, you should do that more. Do that a bit more. Because he just added a bit more context and stuff. This is what he should be bringing to Carmella matches, saying that, like, you know, she hasn't just been moonwalking around at home. She's been strategizing. She's been watching Asuka. And she's aware that this might be the most dangerous version of Asuka that we've seen. And I don't think it's the smartest decision she's made. But if you want to get booked on WrestleMania, you got to take out the top people in the division. And that's why she's going after Asuka. I'm like, that's great. Do more of that. And less of, God, she's so hot! My God, my wife! She's so hot! I'm so horny! And that's his whole commentary. And it was so obnoxious. I hated the start of this. And then there were little bits where it was great.
I take two exceptions, because I actually quite like the Corey stuff. Him saying about Carmella, how hot he thinks Carmella is.
I find it good
because they're supposed to be insufferable douchebags. So, like, it completely works in the same way that it works for Miz and Maryse.
Would you say that Michael Cole, as a heel commentator, is supposed to be an insufferable douchebag?
Well, he was.
Because he is, but it makes me want to change the channel.
Yeah, oh, that's fair. Because it didn't work with Michael Cole. It was very, very bad. But it was bad for Michael Cole because he was also lead play-by-play.
There is an extra element
of bad. Whereas Corey is just color.
Yes.
I don't think it helps by the fact that Kevin does no commentary from what I can gather. I watch this show every week and I don't think I've heard him say word one.
Yeah.
Apart from when he's just like says something really silly. But I just...
I did just realize that I just screamed, I'm so horny on this thing that will definitely be taken out of context.
Yeah. I mean, that's the shorts.
Whoops.
And this is the thing I've always had with WWE and their booking of Carmella. They can never make their mind up. Is she rubbish or is she great? Yeah,
they
don't know.
Yeah.
Because there are times where she's like, oh, she's the worst. She's awful. She just steals away victories. And then, she kicked the crap out of Asuka for 98% of this match. Then Asuka just about eked out a victory over Carmella. And I'm like, well, why were we pretending last week that she should be scared?
Yeah.
And this did nothing for Asuka, did nothing for Bianca Belair, and remarkably did nothing for Carmella either because her character's woefully inconsistent.
Yeah, this was a strange booking choice.
This was a Vince McMahon segment. Triple H is too smart to book something this stupid.
I can see that argument. I don't know if I fully agree.
Vince McMahon would 100% book something that stupid.
He would. That's true.
I don't think Triple H would.
No, he'd probably have Carmella win.
Piper Niven, well, speaking of Vince finishes.
Oh, goodness me.
Piper Niven took on Candice LeRae. Nikki Cross came out with Candice. Sort of stalking her from behind.
And then Candace saw him and was like, all right.
Yeah, well, I guess that's happened.
Yes, she's there.
Piper dominated and then took out Nikki on the outside. And then Candace rolled up Piper and win.
Yep.
I've written my notes here. Also not good.
Yeah.
Because I finished my last paragraph with what is going on in all caps.
Yep.
The no good, unfortunately, continues somewhat because Saxton interviewed Johnny Gargano with his zero reaction. And he accepted a match with Otis and had some bad dialogue against Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the no good continued with Miz TV. Oh, I don't want to dislike a Miz segment, Pete.
You don't want to dislike a Miz segment?
I just want to clarify as well. Let me just get my notes here. Kathy Kelly did the interviews backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I accidentally called her Charlie.
Right.
Charlie Caruso.
Yeah.
And someone left a comment being like, Charlie's not worked there for years.
Mm-hmm.
Typical WrestleTalk. They don't care about women. Shows what hypocrites that they are.
Mm-hmm.
So Kathy Kelly did the interviews there for those who won't forgive me for a slight slip of the tongue.
Yep.
But there was a comment left on yesterday's video, yesterday's worst match ever.
Oh, yeah.
And it really did highlight to me WWE's wonderful revisionist history, or how it has sort of brainwashed people into thinking things that aren't really true.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of great examples of that.
Triple H was an architect of the Attitude Era, for example.
Yeah.
Some might say he created it. Mm. Some might say he was actually the biggest star of the Attitude Era. Things of that nature.
Mm.
There was a comment left on yesterday's worst match ever that said, "You guys are too mean to The Miz. He is one of the greatest of all time."
Whoa. Oh, hello. Oh.
And I was like, you know, I know we get a lot of, like, you hate The Miz, you're anti-Miz bias, yeah, or whatever it is. But I think that's quite a charge, some might say.
I think people can be fans of The Miz, and that's great. I don't think you can call him one of the greatest of all time, unless you're specifically just talking about WWE accolades. Because I think on paper, technically, he probably is.
Because he's
won got everything. A lot of belts.
Won everything.
And he's won pretty much everything. But unless you're talking about any other parameters, I think that's not true.
Apparently, as well, probably point out of the chat as well, I called her Charlie earlier in the show.
Goddamn, Luke.
I probably did I write that in my notes?
Probably.
I did, actually. I wrote down Charlie as opposed to Kathy.
Charlie Kelly.
Yeah, I just wrote down their first names.
Oh, right.
I've written down Kathy, my second one. Mm. So my bad. Anywho, yeah. Well, me and Ollie were talking about this on No Way Out 2000 and our review of that. Because like that caps off, well, at least at that point, Mick Foley's 15-year career. And sort of about like everything that he's accomplished, mm-hmm, in those 15 years. And I said to Ollie, I was like, man, in a couple of years' time, Miz will have been on the main roster for 20 years.
Mm.
And he has won way more than Mick Foley ever did.
Yeah.
And yet feels like he's accomplished significantly less, yeah, in that time.
Yeah.
Benny, I don't hate Miz. I think Miz is a perfectly good mid-card heel.
Which is what he's doing here.
And that's great as what he is here. He's the host of WrestleMania. That is a perfect use of Miz, because mm-hmm, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Being the host of WrestleMania is literally a nothing title.
Tell that to The Rock. Got a huge pop for being the host of WrestleMania.
I think The Rock probably has forgotten that he was the host of WrestleMania. Kim Kardashian was apparently a host of WrestleMania 1 year. Hulk Hogan was the host of WrestleMania 1 year. Like, it literally is a meaningless thing.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely the best use of The Miz, because he can just do some backstage segments, mm-hmm, with some comedy.
He'll open up the show. Yeah.
He'll say, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut, and all, yep, this sort of stuff. And it'll be a totally fine use of The Miz.
Mm.
But I'm really sick of seeing him and Seth Rollins have segments together, because they are just there to have a war about who can out-douchebag each other.
Yeah.
This, you know, who were you calling an unlikable douchebag earlier?
Michael Cole. When he was heel Cole on commentary.
Yeah, like, Seth Rollins is starting to veer into unlikable douchebag.
Yeah.
And I've been I know some people really turned off on Rollins a while ago. I know Ollie, turned off on Rollins very, very early last year.
He sure did.
He has been so over this version of Seth Rollins now for probably a year plus.
Mm-hmm.
But go back and watch the Best Wrestlers 2022 video. I was like, mm-hmm, I actually don't, he's one of the most consistent things on Raw. People really dig his character. I think he's doing some of the better promo work. He really does feel like one of the few stars that this roster has. I am feeling like I'm being pushed over the edge now with this Seth Rollins thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of started with the red boots.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of carried on last week.
Yeah.
And I really, really did not like this segment.
Yeah. So they were hyping up the whole envelope thing for ages for this segment. You know, what's in the envelope? What's in the envelope? And Miz didn't have the envelope with him this week, which makes sense. And he announced he's going to be the host of WrestleMania. My next note was, I wonder how Luke reacted to this.
I tell you what, Pete, it means nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
Yeah. And then Seth Rollins came out and Miz said, you've been raining on my parade for 3 weeks. I was like, it's only been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been 7 years they've been doing it. Then there was some very bad comedy.
Yeah.
So me and you were talking about this earlier, with someone else in the office.
Producer Rich.
And we were speaking about in the office. And we said they started at the punchline and then worked backwards, which generally speaking is not how you write jokes, but whatever. And Seth Rollins called The Miz a b-hole,
mm-hmm,
which I don't think is a thing that anyone has said before.
See, well, I'm gonna get to find out.
Miz then says he's not a B type of person; he's an A type of person. So then Rollins said, "So you're an a-hole." Which, like...
Just checking. It's just... I googled you're a b-hole, mm-hmm. and Google has also corrected it to you're an a-hole.
Yep.
Because I don't think...
I don't think that's a thing.
B-hole.
Regardless, it wasn't fantastic. And the reason that Rollins...
They're just saying it's butthole, which is what I assumed it was.
Which is what I assume it was, but like no one says that. It was a convoluted way to get to a punchline that they'd already figured out, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the reason why this didn't work massively so is because, yeah, you're like, as we were saying earlier, they started at the punchline and worked their way backwards, because what Miz said is not how anyone would have responded to Seth's line.
No, exactly.
Where he said, you're a B-hole.
Yeah.
And Miz's response was, no, I'm not a B-type person. I'm an A, because that's talking about B-type personalities and A-type mm-hmm. personalities.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm an A-type person.
Yeah.
Which is not a response to what Seth said.
Yeah. Well, it's silly and stupid. But Rollins said the reason that he interrupted Miz TV was because he wants Miz to call Logan Paul for him. Miz then says no. Rollins super kicks him, grabs his phone, and then uses Miz's face ID to unlock the phone.
That was funny.
Which the sound effect plays throughout the studio because that's how phones work. And then he called Logan on FaceTime and then said, you should turn up next week face to face. And Logan was like, all right. And then he gave a stomp to Miz.
Yeah, I mean, so all of this was played out on the speakers.
Yeah.
In the building, because this is a cartoon show for children.
Of course.
And it was so hilariously obvious that the shot of Miz holding the phone was a pre-tape.
Mm.
And as was, you know, the Logan Paul thing, it was just kind of horribly staged, quite shoddily put together, not funny, and really long.
Yeah.
And also kind of got us nowhere. Apart from the fact that Logan Paul's going to be on TV next week.
Once again, it was a thing of like, you know, watch next week. That's pretty much what this show was.
Can I give you my big prediction?
What's that?
So obviously I've already done the 3-count predictions for WrestleMania. Go check that out on the WrestleTalk main channel, rather. Miz is going to help Logan Paul beat Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can do Seth Rollins versus The Miz at the next set of pay-per-views.
Ooh,
because Logan Paul won't be there. And then that will lead to a Rollins-Logan rematch either at SummerSlam or at a Saudi show.
There are so many of the words that you just said that I really hate.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But that is my big, bold prediction for this.
Yeah.
I don't think The Miz being involved in so much of this is an accident. Or a waste of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kathy Kelly interviewed Damage Control backstage,
mm.
Who said, get this, they're going to win tonight.
That's crazy that they said that. It's so unique. No one else says that.
And then Austin Theory walked up and said, no one talks about him.
He said, everyone's talking about John Cena. I was like, are they? No one's mentioned John Cena for eight. What are you talking about?
This is the first time that John Cena has been mentioned on the show.
Yeah. If nobody in like the community had been talking about Cena, if they'd been talking about Cena on this show for a while, I can understand the story point. But him to be like, everyone's talking about John Cena. It's like, but they're not though. That's a lie.
But he's going to have a segment with Cena next week.
Again, tune in next week. That's the important one.
Bobby Lashley squashed Elias. Then
cuts a promo.
Promo. He said he's not going to cover in here. He cuts a promo on Brock because he basically did. Because like, I'd rather be feuded with Brock Lesnar if it's all the same to you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to play games with Bray Wyatt. And we got the return of the Muscle Man dance, which I did pop for.
You know, I didn't.
No, I popped for this.
I thought this was a real... This feels like a very superficial version of Bray Wyatt. It's like, do you remember the thing that you liked? Look at it again.
I'll be honest, it feels like we are just putting a pause on all of Bray Wyatt's character stuff so we can just do a little brief feud with Bobby Lashley for WrestleMania, and then we'll pick up all of the Uncle Howdy lore-based stuff afterwards.
Maybe it's because I just don't care about this version of Bray Wyatt at all. But I saw the Muscle Man dance and I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a superficial pop.
Yeah.
I mean, 100p, it's a superficial thing.
Yeah.
But I did pop for it. Chelsea Green had some bantery stuff with Adam Pearce, and Carmella said that she's going to get a match with Belair next week.
thought the Chelsea Green was quite funny.
She's very good.
On the trot. I think that's like 3 weeks I've laughed at her segment.
Otis took on Johnny Gargano. There was comedy shenanigans with Otis and Maximum Male Models and Dexter Lumis. And Johnny Gargano got the win in all of the commotion and nobody cared.
Dexter Lumis tried to kidnap Mace.
We then
massive
got...
Massive upset, by the way, according to commentary. Massive upset Gargano beat Otis.
Was it really?
That's what they said.
Okay. Kathy interviewed Paul Heyman, just to remind us all that Cody is going to SmackDown. And then our main events.
I really like this bit as well, because they said Kathy Kelly tried to correct Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman was like, you know, Cody Rhodes is going to confront Roman Reigns on SmackDown. She was like, well, technically he didn't say that. He said he's just going to be there at SmackDown. And Heyman's like, obviously they're going to confront each other, they're facing at WrestleMania. What are you talking about, Kathy? And I was like, yeah, Kathy.
Yeah.
What are you on about, you weirdo?
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch and Lita took on Damage Control for the women's tag team titles in the main event of this show. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of this was my favorite bad commentary of the day, because this proper made me laugh.
Yep.
Because it was both rubbish, but accurate.
Okay.
Because there was this moment when Becky Lynch got on all fours and Lita ran at her, really badly slipped off her back and did an awful little splash in the corner.
Yep.
They did Hardy Boys moves and Corey said, vintage Lita. And then I read, yeah. I mean, it was bad. So that is pretty much vintage Lita. Lita's one of my faves ever.
Yeah.
But she's not the... Not the smoothest.
Not the smoothest in the ring.
Not the smoothest cat in the ring. Never was.
Yep.
She's slowed down in 20 years, as you would do. It's been 20 years, but the game has got significantly faster. Mm-hmm. So she feels like she is running at the wrong speed to everybody else. Trish Stratus ran down.
Yep.
She made her return to even up the odds as Bayley was trying to interfere. And then we got a bit of a sloppy finish where, like, Dakota... Io Sky got knocked down in the ring and had to lay there for ages while they waited for Trish to hit Bayley with the chick kick and for Becky Lynch to get Dakota Kai into the armbar and Dakota Kai to tap out on the outside, mm-hmm. and then Lita could hit the moonsault.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost too many moving parts.
There's a lot of bits in this one. Yeah.
That meant that Io Sky was laying there for probably far too long. Mm. So long, I thought, oh, she'll reverse that because she's been there for ages.
Yeah.
But no, Lita hit the moonsault, got the win. And we got new women's tag team champions.
Becky
Lynch and Lita. I thought it was a very, very fun main event.
It was fun.
And I like the fact that these people got to be in the ring with their idols.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of, you know, thumbs up and niceness to be had around that. All of it's completely superficial. Mm-hmm. And kind of, as I mentioned earlier, because you kind of pointed that out to me and I hadn't realized it. But this is a feud that is done, but is just continuing on unnecessarily.
Yeah. Until we can get to the thing that they want to do at WrestleMania. They've had their plan for Mania for ages and they've just spun it and just kept the feud going until they want to get to this bit.
But if that was the case, mm-hmm. like, you know, we're just sort of spinning this out until we can get to WrestleMania, I don't think I would have just had Becky win the cage match, because that felt like that was the end of the feud.
Sure did.
But then... Almost like an...
This isn't over until I say it's over.
In a Edge Balor Jericho Appreciation Society. That's what this is.
Yeah, 100%.
This is Jericho Appreciation Society versus Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
It was like, and the feud is over. But next week, there's another part to it.
And then it's Jericho Appreciation Society versus Ricky Starks. This feud is over, but here's more of it.
But here's more of it.
Yeah.
Because we aren't done just yet.
Yep.
It looks like we're going to be getting into a six woman. Mm-hmm. No idea what you're going to do with Ronda then at Mania, but also I don't think I care.
Don't really care.
But yeah, it was a fun ending to a show.
It was,
which I actually kind of needed.
Yes,
because I wasn't overly enamored with a lot on this show. Mm-hmm. I gave this 2 out of 5.
Valid.
Yeah,
nothing really happened of major note because the women's tag titles don't mean anything. There's no division.
No, you're right, but it was nice.
It was superficial.
Yeah, you're right.
But like it was still nothing.
Yeah.
Even though it was something happened, it's still mostly nothing. Two very quick bits of commentary that I just want to point out. Mm-hmm. Becky Lynch and Lita, they first tagged in. They hit a double suplex. They hit a suplex together. And Kevin Patrick goes, "How's that for chemistry?" I hit one move, KP. And also at the end, when Io Sky went to hit a moonsault on Lita and she moved, she's like, oh, she wanted to, dastardly Io wanted to finish it with her own, with Lita's own move. It's like, that's Io's finisher.
Craig, she did one earlier in the match.
I know.
Doofus. Yeah. But anyway, that was the show. Yeah, 2 out of 5. What do you say?
Yeah, 2.5. Let's go with that. Maybe slightly higher.
Okay. Yeah. I think you liked it more than I did.
I did, yeah.
Let's go. Oh, wonderful. Our moderator's already got the poll going up. Let's get to the rest of your remaining Oosi chats here. Unfortunately, Streamlabs has lost a name here. Dew says, it's way too early for Gunther to beat Brock or to lose to him. And Amos versus Braun was a great match. Y'all are being peak IWC here.
Disagree on both counts. Gunther beating Brock would be amazing.
Yeah,
it's not too early for that. Amos versus Braun was not fun.
Yeah, it's not too early for Gunther to beat Brock whatsoever, in fact. Actually, nope. If anything, that'd be awesome.
It'd be really cool.
It'd be really, really great for
really
Gunther.
Solidify that IC title reign is really awesome and meaningful and get a lot of prestige back to that title, which is desperately needed.
And I mean this with all due respect. I really do, because obviously I apologize and I'm very thankful that you've sent in your Oosi chat here, and I thank you for watching this show and I thank you for being part of the conversation. But I just want to, you're the first I there of the IWC is the internet. I just want you to double check where you posted this. I really think it's time to retire the term IWC. We're all on the internet. Yeah. We're all doing this on the internet.
Yeah.
We're all part of the internet wrestling community.
Yep.
It's now just the wrestling community.
Yeah.
I think it's time to retire that, because it's not even an insult.
Yeah.
Kevin says, what? You're like Gunther versus Sheamus, but you don't like Lesnar versus Amos. Good luck with your unbiased journalism. More seriously. I hate that all three Lashley versus Lesnar had screw finishes all for nothing.
I agree.
Ah, Kevin. There's every chance. Brock just beats Amos, and then we can do Brock versus Bobby at WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, but why stretch it out? Whatever, doesn't matter. And to be fair, their crown jewel match wasn't a screwy finish. It was just bad.
That was, yes.
It was fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Liam Leonard has been a member for 18 months in a row, which did a Patreon video call for Liam Leonard. So that's sat in there in your inbox. Who says, hey guys, from my real job, decent episode, but you guys might have to add Brock versus Amos to worst matches ever. Yeah. Is it a field goal? Thanks for the call, guys.
No worries, mate.
You're very, very welcome.
We'll see.
The poll results are in, by the way, from Brock versus Amos. 62% thumbs down with 27 thumbs in the middle. Only 9% giving that thumbs up. So that's...
checks out.
Yeah, so that's 81% there at the IWC.
Love it.
Excuse me. I am being glib, of course.
Yes.
Charles Berg says, adrenaline in my soul. Watch me wrestle Chad Gable.
Yeah.
That's good.
That works.
That's good. The question I really want to know is, will Bray and Lashley... is what will Bray and Lashley's match be? I hope it's another brand match. The Snickers, you're not here. You're not you when you're howdy match.
That's quite good.
That is
you're not
good.
You when you're howdy. Oh,
that
that's
is
funny.
Good. I like that.
It works on many layers.
Lucas Mildrum has been a member. He's become a member. Got a gifted sub. Thank you for that. Love the reviews, guys. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you
joining
you
us.
The person in the chat, we have a gifted in the sub.
Andrew Doherty's been a member for 18 months in a row. Said, Ric Flair recently said that Vince was back on Busted Open Radio and last night proves it. Well, I mean, if there's one word that we should take as read, probably Ric Flair.
I was literally just about to say, like, you know, trustworthy, reliable source, Ric Flair.
Hold on. Let me put a call into Disco Inferno and see if I can get confirmation. You know, real legit insights here.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm being facetious. Kevin said, I know with all the reports, we think that Vince is back in charge with bad creative, but I wouldn't put it past Triple H to have these kind of doofus decisions like Mellor and Chelsea Green dominating Asuka or Gargano just being a lad. NXT wasn't always perfect.
It wasn't always perfect.
You're absolutely
That's
right.
True.
I did forget about Chelsea Green dominating. Why can't this company book Asuka? They did so well that first year.
They occasionally book Asuka really well. Like the Chamber match, she looked awesome.
Yeah, she did.
In the Rumble match, she looked awesome. Like occasionally they're like, this is the Asuka you want. You're like, yes, yes it is, more of that. And they go, no.
No, he is Carmella dominating for 90 minutes. Yeah. 90% rather.
Nick Smith, Dom versus Rey at Mania, ladder match for Rey's mask and career. Added tip that if Judgment Day interfered, Dom loses the Mysterio name. They do, and Rey loses. We see the debut of Dominic Guerrero on Raw after Mania in Rey's mask.
I'd love it if it was Dominic Ripley.
Oh, that's way better. I like that a lot.
That'd be really fun.
But I really think it's going to be a mask.
Yes, yeah, I think it'll be a mask as well.
Really cool. I think less mask and career. I think it's going to be mask versus hair.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
Chris here says, with all the reports of Triple H wanting a smaller card for Mania and him booking things like Amos versus Brock, you can see why people might be upset backstage to be left off the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a picture of Alexa behind Bray during the Muscle Man dance?
No.
I did not, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Firefly Funhouse on SmackDown? Felt like it was very effective in setting up Bray and Bobby at WrestleMania and all the Alexa teases. She's the hands playing with the Undertaker and she's the eyes in the door when we hear someone shouting. On the Asuka match, this could be a case of Dark Alexa repeat where Bianca doesn't sell Asuka as a threat, just being weird, then beats her super clean. If that happens, the Super Bel Air narrative that's starting to grow will get worse if she just beats Asuka. I mean, I 100% think that Belair wins at Mania.
I hope not.
35 Antonio says, Sheamus has been teasing a third match with Gunter since the F finish on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. The direction's always been that Drew is just an extra. And one of the worst tricks WWE has ever pulled is making us believe Brock had no personality and hated wrestling.
So true.
I don't know. Wait till we get further into this feud with the Moth. You might find out just how much he doesn't like wrestling. Yeah. It reeks of Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, yeah.
This has got a proper Dean Ambrose WrestleMania
Dean Ambrose
match.
Right there.
I'm Just Marcus says, can I just say how much I loved the Ford Bel Air Titanic parody? Also, Becky and Lita beat Damage Control for the tag titles that mean so little, I genuinely forgot they had them. Please, WWE, either do something with the belts or get rid of them.
I agree.
A missing username here says, Corey and Kevin Patrick are a horrible announced team because Corey makes all of these easily refutable arguments for heel behavior and Kevin Patrick does not refute them. One of the worst Raw announced teams ever.
Corey Graves never gets his comeuppance for being a knob. And that's my main issue.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have a missing Streamlabs name here who says, my defense for the Asuka match last night is that the Raw Women's Division has looked weak recently.
Mm-hmm.
By people like Chelsea, Carmella, and Nikki putting up a serious fight, it gives you credible opponents for Asuka after she wins at Mania. Oh, I disagree there because that's not building people up. That's just dragging Asuka down.
Yeah, it's booked poorly. Like, you should have these people put in good performances against people that aren't Asuka.
Yes, absolutely. 35 answer. Yeah, Asuka should be booked as strong as possible. She's mm-hmm. Especially in your worldview where she's winning the belt. 35 Antonio, a thing I noticed early from Triple H women's booking is that he tries to make everyone competitive. The problem is that some women are no longer credible because of years of bad booking.
Mm-hmm.
This Mella match is the latest example.
Yes.
Bacon Rash said, hi lads, don't worry about Carmella winning the women's title. She's booked strong and she will win the tag belts with Chelsea at Mania, beating Lynch and Lita. P.S. Tommy and Tyson Fury to Mania this year confirmed. Seth mentioned the boxing. Jam that jam. Yeah, they did mention something about another poll. I don't know what it was in reference to.
Boxing.
Cool. Also, I just want to clarify now, I also don't need you to tell me.
Yeah.
Brad has been a member for 2 months in a row. He just says, meow.
Yep.
And lastly here, Eddie Pat says, hello, guys. Is that not lastly? I do apologize. Hello, guys. I just finished Citizen Kane for my film appreciation class, and I still don't get it. Is it one of those movies you have to watch twice? Anyway, I'm pulling for Luke next season in GM mode. Tucker isn't in the game. Now is your time.
That's true. You've lost your...
I can't push Tucker anymore.
You've lost your star player.
I know, yeah.
And Ollie, you're in the room.
Citizen Kane.
I know we talked about this on the AEW review.
This is the second Citizen Kane chat we've had in 5 days.
I think it's the same person,
right?
Who's now finished the film, and their quote is, "I don't get it. Do you need to watch it twice?"
No, it's famously just perfect.
And lastly here from Eric Metzloff, who says, hey Team Rastuk, I'm so excited that Lita won a title in 2023. Part of me wishes she won it with Trish versus Becky, but this makes Lita's third title win in the main event of Raw.
That's a nice stat.
Well, how
stat.
About that? That's like cool. That a lot. Thank you all so much for watching. Please do
we have a poll first for the thoughts on Raw?
Absolutely right.
Just to see what people thought.
You're absolutely right, Pete. Let's have a look here. 53% gave it mid.
That checks out for me.
With 33% down.
Happened. Yeah.
And 13% up. So that is very heavily weighted on the down front.
That's mid to down.
That is mid to down.
That's like a 2.5 out of 5. That's what I said.
Or two out of five. Well, you know.
Whatever.
But anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. Please do get your comments down below if you're watching this on demand. Press the thumbs up button and subscribe and all that good jazz as well. Please also click the link down below and check out the latest episode of Worst Match Ever, where Pete and Tempest and I give our reactions to Damian Priest versus The Miz in the Zombie Lumberjack match. Till then, I've been Luca and D-A-D. That has been Pete. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.